Hello and welcome to episode 437 of the VSiN Market Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Applebaum. Happy Tuesday, everyone. What is going on? Let's get after it. Another big day in the arena, guys. We got a ton to get to tonight, for games for tonight. We got a big MLB Fall Classic Game 1, Astros and the Braves. We'll talk about some interesting bet first dollar splits for tonight. I'm looking at one play in particular, and I got a lean on another. Also got a series price that I put in, so we'll hit on World Series Game 1 tonight. Also, big night in the NHL. I got five bets to talk about. NBA, what do I have? I got four more in the NBA. And I also want to mention in the NHL, I will be on Andy McNeil's live stream tonight. So our buddy, Sunshine, who writes the daily column for NHL, he's our go-to NHL expert. 4 p.m. Eastern time, I'll be joining Andy's YouTube channel. We're also going to have the fantasy and props expert Michael Clifford joining the show as well. So should be a lot of fun. If you like hockey, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be talking about prop bets, line moves. It's going to be a mix of different takes. Should be a great time. So 4 p.m. on the VSiN YouTube channel. Tune in for a hockey live stream with Andy McNeil, myself, and Michael Clifford. And then, of course, guys, we're going to turn our attention a little bit to NFL Week 8. Already a crazy move with COVID and the Packers and the Arizona Cardinals game. Couple other numbers right around a hook. 3.5, 3. So maybe jump on those early. And then I'm also looking at the college football slate because there are a few games in particular. And when we talk about fading trendy dogs, I got one that you guys are going to love. So I got a few plays in college football that we can mention. But, guys, another big day getting after it. I got some good news and bad news. You want some good news? Good news is it was a good night in the NHL. We got St. Louis. We got Carolina. We got the Florida puck line. Florida-Georgia line, puck line, baby. -1.5 coming through for the team, so 3-2 NHL. Also, and I want to hit on this in terms of a betting philosophical question, but the Seattle Seahawks coming up bigly for the team. And why is this, I got so many tweets, and you guys are so sharp, but that line all the way right before game time, or I would say last couple hours, it shot up to -6. So we're going to talk about whether, what to do when, typically if we play our cards right and majority of the time we're going to have great closing line value. And, I always talk about like the Broncos last week where we get them 3.5, they close at 1, they lose by 3, we cover our number. So majority of the time we're getting closing line value. What do you do when the closing line value goes way against you? The closing line was devalued. You take a Seattle +4 and you see it shoot up to 6. What do you do? And I'll give you a little spoiler here. You stick with the one who brung you. You dance with the one who brung you. That's my take there. But Seattle getting it done, +4. And then talk about a deadbeat under, 44 down to 42, windy, rainy. That thing landed on 23, so it wasn't even a sweat if you took the under. I didn't like that number. It fell so much. But just goes to show you, these are always tough because when you see a total that dips, you're like, man, it's clearly an under, but am I getting the worst of it? Is there going to be a late score like that Colts game where we saw it go over late? But again, money to the under, we identified that, and a big hit there with Seattle. Now that's the good news. Good night in the NFL and NHL. Bad news? NBA was brutal, man. 0-4 in the NBA. Toronto, brutal. Get them +2, they lose by 3. And then these totals that we were looking at, buying low to overs, went 0-3. So I know a lot of people are reaching out and like, why'd you take the over in these? Because the line was falling in a few of them. Well, to me, what I tried to do, and it didn't work out last night, look like an idiot, but I'm trying to find discrepancy plays, and I have system matches where if a total really tanks, like if it falls 4 points or more, 5 points or more, buying low, taking the over can have value historically. Obviously, it didn't happen last night, but what I'm looking at, guys, from last night, 4-6, -2.81 units, not where we wanted to be to start the week, but really it was NBA that hurt us, and I think you're going to have that when you start a new sport. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, but good night football and hockey, bad night NBA, but that's okay. We turn the page onto a big Tuesday. We got World Series, NBA, NHL, and we'll look ahead to a lot of football, guys. So, of course, before we dive in, housekeeping as always, if you haven't done it yet, sign up for the VSiN newsletter. Just go to VSiN.com/newsletter, put in your email. You'll wake up every morning to great sports betting information. Just get you thinking about sports betting that day, all the big games. You have my market insights column giving you sharp reports. You also get Dave Tooley's ATS report, how did favorites, dogs, overs, unders do the previous night. Promos for legal sports books, Andy McNeil's daily NHL column, JVT's daily NBA column, and just a million other links to put you in the right direction for columns, stats, splits, all the stuff we have at VSiN to help you make smart bets. And all this is free. So you got to do it. VSiN.com/newsletter. put in your email. You'll wake up to it every morning. And then, of course, you want to take that next step in your sports betting journey. I'm finishing off my article, Five Games the Wise Guys Are Betting. I do it every week for Points Your Weekly. We also get Gamble News Biting Breakdowns with PSW, Power Ratings, Best Bets, great columns, articles, Matty Humans, Will Hill, Wes Reynolds, the whole crew, and Steve Mackin's Power Ratings, which I really, really like. But, guys, that's just VSiN.com/subscribe. Do a 10-day free trial. If you like it, you can go monthly. If you really like it, get the annual, save some money. If you don't like it, cancel before the 10 days are up. You won't be charged. But you get every PSW, afternoon best bet emails, all of our betting guides, everything behind the VSiN.com paywall, stat splits, everything you need to help you make a smart bet. We'll never guarantee a winner because that's not legit. You know, sports betting, there's ups, there's downs, and nothing's guaranteed. But our whole point at VSiN is to provide as much insightful information and advice and allow you to make the smartest bet that you can. And that's where all of our data comes in, being a VSiN subscriber. So just VSiN.com/subscribe. And then, of course, get on Twitter. Twitter's where the betting convo never ends. Twitter is where we find goalies, starting goalies, injuries in the NHL, NBA load management. Follow local beat reporters in college and pro. And of course, make sure you follow at VSiN Live, the mothership. And you can follow me at Josh_insights. You can always email me as well. Questions, comments, suggestions, whatever it may be. I'm here to help in any way that I can. Offer some betting education along the way. Help you read the market. Hopefully help you make smart bets. That is my my job description. I guess my full description is sports betting reporter. But you guys know me by now. Any way I can help, I would be happy to. You can always email me, josh@vsin.com. So, with that being said, guys, I wanted to start off with a philosophical question from last night, because I got a lot of tweets, and I knew what I worked all day and, you know, was doing all the betting across America, all the shows and everything. I went to go run some errands because my fiance's mother is coming to visit and stay with us for a week. So I had to get some stuff, clean the house. So I was away from my computer for a couple hours. I look up, I think it was around maybe 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, right before all the games are starting. So I always double check my plays and see how I'm doing with any moves or whatever's going on, injuries. But I look up and I see Seattle +5.5. Then I saw Seattle +6. I'm like, OMG, I got a +4. This is not good. Late money is pouring in here on New Orleans. So I looked at my Twitter. I got a ton of direct messages from you guys. So number one, you guys are on top of the market. Great job. Number two, I want to just answer this question because I think I got maybe 10 direct messages. Everyone saying line's now up to 6. What do you do? Are you going to double bet Seattle? Are you going to cash out? Are you going to bet New Orleans? You know what? How do you handle these situations? I thought it was a great question because this does happen from time to time. It's pretty rare. I don't remember the last time I took a +4 and a line went to 6. I mean, that's going to happen. So I think the answer to why it went up is there was money coming in on New Orleans. It's pretty obvious. There really weren't any injuries. There's no COVID. It was just late money pouring in on New Orleans. And really the way that I handle these situations, guys, is, and again, there are different ways to approach it. But one thing that I always try to do is stick with my bet. And I think you might talk to different sports bettors and pro cappers and different people in the market, and they may tell you something different. You can bet the other side. You can cash out of, you know, some books allow you to cash out for just paying a 20% juice or 20 cent juice. I get that as well. But here's my thing, guys. I'm going to dance with the one who brung me, and it'll pay off in situations like this. So you get a +4, line goes to +6. You start freaking out. Like, I got a bad number. I'm on the wrong side. Sharp money's on the opponent. What do I do? You could bet the other side, but here's the thing, guys. Let's say you bet Seattle +4 and you're late to the party and you freak out about the move on New Orleans. Then you bet New Orleans -6. What if New Orleans wins by 5 and now you go 0-2? You turned literally possibly one loss on Seattle into two losses and you just lost another unit to the book. Now, that's kind of like a Polish middle, and I don't know if that's a bad thing to say, but that's kind of what people call it in sports betting. But either way, guys, the whole point is when you start betting both sides, and basically what you're doing is you're limiting your reward and maximizing your risk, basically. So anytime I see these situations, I stick with my original bet. I got a bad number, but guess what? That's on me for getting the bad number. I'm not going to now add another bet to maybe make it, instead of 0-1, 0-2. That way, I think you're just accruing more liability and risk and possibly losing more units. Now, here's the other thing. Stick with the one who brung you. She might give you a good dance. And that's what happened with Seattle. We got a +4. They lose by 3. We win our bet. Yeah, we didn't get the best of the number, but we covered our bet. So all those situations, primetime dogs, conference dogs, contrarian in a heavily bet game, all the things we like to look for, still match with Seattle, even though the line shot up. So long story short, guys, if you stick with your original bet, you may still win it. That's what happened with Seattle last night. If you start to bet the other side or double down, like here's one thing. You take Seattle plus four. Imagine if you then took Seattle again at plus six and then New Orleans wins by seven. You would have lost one unit just by losing your original Seattle plus four. And now you lose two units by doubling down in Seattle. So it goes both ways. I don't like to double down. I don't like to bet the other side. I dance with the one who brung me. I sleep in the bed that I made. I'll give you all these cliches, but that's just my personal opinion. Now, people might say I'm an idiot. You might, you know, cash out, bet the other, whatever it may be. I totally get that. But I just want to stick with my original bet because guess what? The original bet can win. So I got nervous. I didn't like it. I'm not going to tell you I liked that move. It was bad. It was a bad indication there because any line move was really driven by respect and money. But sticking with our original bet on Seattle cash, so that is just something I wanted to address moving forward because I got a lot of questions about it. Anytime I see that, I'm just sticking with my original bet, and it paid off. Seattle plus four, baby. But with that being said, after addressing that, let's dive into the slate tonight. So I want to start with Major League Baseball. So we got a big Major League Baseball slate here tonight. And what are we looking at across the board? One thing that jumped out to me, so series price, Houston minus 150, Atlanta plus 130. I put a unit on the Houston series price to win the World Series. Do I like the Astros? No, I hate the Astros. They beat my Red Sox. But I think Houston is, if you look at power ratings and really just the way these odds have looked all year long, you have a Cinderella team like Atlanta, and you have Houston, who was at the, you know, top three, top four odds to win the World Series the entire year. So I think the strength of Houston, where their pitching may not be great, but they're getting their number one starter tonight with Valdez, who shut down my Red Sox and looked unbelievable, going up against Charlie Morton here tonight. But I just think if you power rate these teams, Houston is much higher. They have the better lineup, although Atlanta's lineup is, pretty good as well. But the big discrepancy, and there's a good article by Derek Carty and Adam Burke in today's newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter, and on the homepage, Houston's much better defensively, and Houston's bats against lefties. All or vast majority of Atlanta's bullpen guys are lefties. Will Smith, Matzik, all these guys they bring in late. So Houston mashes lefties. They have the better hitting lineup. They play much better defense, and I think their firepower is in their favor, and they have home field advantage in the playoffs in the World Series. So I took a shot on Houston minus 150. And what am I looking at for tonight, guys? I'm going to lay this number with Houston. Call me crazy, but we did see a little bit of a dip. So a lot of these books opened, minus 135 at home for Houston. I'm seeing some books now minus 130. So it has fallen about 5 cents toward Atlanta. So if you like Atlanta and the plus money, my matches on Atlanta would be, let's see, playoff dog high total. So when your total is 8.5 or higher on a playoff team, it's good correlative betting, more expected run scored, more variance, more upset spots. 45% last decade, but about 5% ROI. And then also short playoff dogs. So if you look at short playoff dogs plus 140 or less, they're 49% last decade with about a 9% ROI. So if you like Atlanta, 5 cents in their favor, a couple dog, short road dog and dog high total system matches. But I'll tell you why I like Houston. I like Houston tonight because they're not a big public play, but they have a good bet first dollar discrepancy. The Astros are only getting 46% of bets at BetMGM. Public's kind of split, and they're even saying, give me Atlanta. They just, you know, David beat Goliath there, knocking down the mighty Dodgers. But public's on Atlanta, and yeah, it's moved a few cents here. But Astros only getting 46% of bets, but 65% of the money. So that's a pretty good discrepancy. That's a 19%, almost 20% bet first dollar discrepancy. So I like that really these bigger wagers are on the Astros. And then also as a contrarian favorite, it's very rare, especially in the postseason, where you get a favorite at home that isn't the popular play. So maybe it's that Houston bias with the cheating. It's a love for Atlanta, you know, running through the playoffs and being kind of a Cinderella team. But I just think the value to me is on a home team around minus 130 where, and here are my system matches for Houston. If you look at the World Series, I dug this up, but if you go back about almost the last 20 years, World Series favorites are 60%. If you look at home teams, they're around that number as well. But World Series favorites have done well. And then also, so far this playoffs, home teams, 21-10, 68%, 25% ROI. Favorites in general, 18-13, 58%, 2% ROI. So all these matches are for Houston in this spot. And I like the bet versus dollar discrepancy, and they're getting less than half the tickets. So I'm going to hit Houston minus 130. That's going to be my play for tonight. And I would say maybe a little bit to the over. The over was a bit intriguing to me, but only if you can find an eight. A lot of these books open, I think it was between eight and a half, but some of these eights went up to 8.5. Now it's 8.5 under -120. If you like the over here, and I would lean over or nothing, two good lineups. You're in a closed dome or closed roof stadium, which technically actually benefits the under. But a little bit of an over-ump, Chris Conroy, who, by the way, was my gym teacher at Mount Greylock Regional High School. So good to see Conroy umping it tonight. But around 53% to the over. And you did have some over money bringing up an 8 up to an 8.5. So if you can find an 8, I'd be intrigued by an over 8. But my play here is a historical match with favorites, home teams, and especially in the playoffs in the World Series, matching with Houston. They're contrarian favorite, and they're getting low bets, higher dollars, 46% bets, but 65% money. So I'm on Houston -150 to win the series. You may find a better number, -140 around the market, and I'm on Houston tonight at -130. So that is my play for tonight. But guys, let's transition over quickly. I wanted to hit on some NHL. Start off with a couple games here that caught my eye and get ready for my my big debut here with Andy McNeil on the live stream. Then we'll transition to NBA, which I am annoyed by NBA. I'm trying to get back at him after a 0-4 night. You can't just give me 1-3. I mean, even that would have limited a loss there. But just goes to show you a new sport. There are some hiccups and some bumpy spots along the road when you first get back into a league. But guys, let's transition to NHL because this is what's happening. I knew this would happen, knock on wood, but we're starting to heat up in NHL. We're starting to stack some winning days NHL. And again, it was bumpy to start, but now we're starting to get our models rolling here, which I love. So first one on the board for me, guys, I'm taking a shot on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins are at home against Tampa Bay. What I like about this one is some line movement toward a dog, actually. This opened Tampa Bay on the road around -135, -140. And we're seeing this line drop. So -135 opener, that's probably your number one opener. It's down to around -125, -120. So this line is tanking toward Pittsburgh. I like this movement toward Pittsburgh. They're going from +120 to around +110. But really, my play here on Pittsburgh is betting against Tampa Bay and really betting against Tampa, who's struggling now, and on the second leg of a back-to-back. So Tampa Bay last night went to Buffalo. You lose 5-1. They've lost three straight. They got a bunch of injuries. Kucherov is out. It's also kind of tough. You know, they're going for the third straight cup, and it's a bit of a Stanley Cup hangover here. But they played last night. Pittsburgh hasn't played since the 23rd. So they last played on, what was that, Saturday. So well-rested Pittsburgh. Tampa Bay on the second leg of a back-to-back and line dropping toward Pittsburgh. Give me that rest advantage. I'm going to bet against a back-to-back team. I'm on Pittsburgh +112 here tonight. See if we can get some plus money on a dog. Next one for me, looking at NJD. New Jersey Devils. Give me the Devils in this one, guys. This line open around a pick 'em, -105 both sides. And we've seen the Devils creep up to around -115. So movement toward the Devils. Now, this is also a kind of a sharp move to Jersey. And I don't think this is not your dad's Jersey Devils or maybe your grandfather's with the Niedermeyer and those old school teams and Marty Brodeur. But I think this team is kind of interesting. You know, bringing Dougie Hamilton, you got some young players. There's injuries on both sides of this game, but my play here is another rest versus tired advantage. You have the Devils who, again, last played the 23rd Saturday, as we had mentioned, but Calgary Flames second leg of a back-to-back. I was on the Rangers last night. They lose 5-1 in that spot. Calgary has won 3 in a row, but that's a back-to-back versus a rested Devils team. And a lot of these matches here, guys, if you look at, we're talking about home favorites, 33-22, 60% here. And all of these systems I'm looking at are back-to-back, betting against a back-to-back team versus a team with 3 days of rest or more, 64% last year, fading back-to-back tired teams. I have variations of pretty much the same system. If you're looking at a rest versus tired discrepancy on a home team, 62% last year, rested versus tired in a non-division spot, 61% last year. All these lines or system matches are on the Devils. So I'm going to lay it with the Devils. And I'm also going to, or what I'm going to bank on a little bit is Daniel Vladar. Who was with the Bruins, and I pull for this guy, but he's a backup goalie tonight, and I think the Devils might get to him. So I'm on the Devils, shop around -110, -115. Keep on cruising. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Give me the Colorado Avs. Why? Because they're a good team. There's a line move in their favor, and because the VGK, Vegas Golden Knights, are really banged up here. So Colorado's at home. They open around -160. They've been steamed up to now -170, -175. So line move toward Colorado. Home favorites -175 or more are 14-5, 74% this year. We talked about home favorites in general, 60%. This is also a rest advantage for Colorado. One thing if you look at recent days and everything, Colorado last played Saturday the 23rd. Vegas played the 24th, which was Sunday. They also played the 22nd, which was Friday, and they played the 20th, which was Wednesday. So if you go back to Wednesday the 20th, Colorado has only played two games. Vegas has played three, and all these Vegas guys are still out. Mark Stone, Pacioretty, Tuck. They might miss, I think, White Cloud's out. Martinez and Nolan Patrick could be out. I'm going to ride Colorado. Good team and VGK injuries. I'm on Colorado around minus. I got minus 172 in that one. Last night, we dusted off our first puck line system, minus 1.5, and it came through for the team bigly with the Panthers. Now I got my first total play of the year, guys. I'm going to sweat a total in the San Jose Sharks Nashville Preds game. Give me the under 6. What I like about this one, guys, open at 6, minus 110 both sides, and now every 6 on the board is around minus 115, minus 120. And at one point, I think some shops may have dipped to 5.5, came back to 6, but all liabilities on the under 6 in this one. I've seen some under 6 money show up, and I like the goalie matchup. UC Saros has been great this year. I think you're going to get James Reimer here for San Jose. But if you look at San Jose defensively, only giving up about 2.2 goals a game. Nashville only scoring 2.8. So I'm looking at a lower scoring game in this one. My first juiced up under 6 for the Nashville Predators. Let's see if we can bring it home. And then last one of the night, first time I'll be able to say this year, release the Kraken. Release the Kraken. Let's go Seattle, baby. I'm on Seattle. Hopefully get some a couple units back after I bet Montreal, I think, probably 4 times in a row, and they lost every game. But I think Seattle, I don't know if they've won at home. Maybe they're looking for their first home win, but they're at home. Both these teams have really stunk this year. Montreal 1-5, Seattle 1-4-1. But Seattle getting healthier. They had some COVID. They're starting to get a bunch of their guys back that they got in the draft and made trades for. So they're getting healthier. And Montreal has really, really struggled here, especially scoring. Montreal's only scoring 1.67 goals a game. Their offense has been really non-existent here. So what I like is Seattle opening around minus 105, minus 110, kind of a low number. They've now been steamed up to around minus 120. So Seattle, this would match our favorite off a loss system, 63%. Last year, home favorites off a loss, 64%. And also have a system on non-division favorites, betting against teams that don't score a lot, less than 2.5 goals a game, 62% last year. So all matching with Seattle. So plays for me, guys. Pittsburgh getting plus 112 as a dog. Jersey laying minus 110, minus 114. Colorado minus 172. Nashville under 6. I want a 2-1, 2-0, 3-2 game. No empty net goals to push or kill us there, please. And then Seattle late night around minus 120. And that's also a rested match because if you look at Montreal, they last played the 23rd, 21st, and 19th. Seattle played the 23rd and the 19th. So they played an extra game. I think it's their fourth game in what, 7 days, where Seattle's playing their third in 7 days. I think that could be an advantage there as well. So let's go Seattle. With that being said, guys, we ain't done yet. When we get back, we're going to get back into the arena for the NBA. Rough last night. See if we can turn it around. And then we are going to give an update on a lot of football bets. NFL, college football. There's one in particular in college football, which is so gross and so disgusting and looks like it can't possibly cover. And that's why I love it. So get ready for that one. When we return, finishing up strong, talking NBA, NFL, and college football on episode 437 of the VSiN Market Insights Podcast with me, your buddy, your host, the guy you grind and sweat in the arena with every single day, your buddy, Josh Applebaum. Stick with us, guys. We will be right back. All right, everyone, we are back at it. After grinding last night, getting a nice Seattle plus 4 and talking about, you know, how to approach these situations where a line goes way away from you, I just say you dance with the one who brung you. Stick with your original bet. Don't turn maybe one loss into two, and maybe that one loss won't be a loss. Maybe they'll cover anyway, which is what happened last night. And then a good night NHL 3-2 with Carolina, Florida puck line, Georgia line, and St. Louis. And don't get me started, NBA, brutal NBA, 0-4. So looking back at last night, 4-6, minus 2.81 units. Let's see if we can get it back tonight. So we start off with the pod, talking World Series Game 1. I got a play on Houston and in the series price, Houston tonight and the series. And then we just hit on NHL, Pittsburgh, Devils, Colorado, Nashville under 6, and Seattle. Now let's transition over to NBA because I tell you what, guys, anytime I have a bad night in a particular sport, it annoys me, it pisses me off. But I wake up the next day saying, all right, you got me yesterday. Well, guess what? I'm coming back at you today. See if we can claw some units back. So first one on the board for me, guys. I'm going to play an under. I know we were playing a lot of these over systems early, and maybe I'm starting to wonder if, you know, the sample size are too small for going off these efficiency models. We want to get accrue some more data, which is my one thing in the back of my head I was a little concerned with the start. But I'm going under Golden State, under 224. Right now it's falling. Maybe you want to jump on it quick. 223.5. I got to get this pot out to you. But I like about this Golden State under open 224, public's on the over. They see Steph Curry and this Golden State Warriors team that is off to a fantastic start. What are they? 3-0, 2-1 ATS. So they're saying, hey, they're going to score a million points, go over this number. However, open 224, it's now fallen 223.5. Looks like it may even get to 223. So some under money has shown up here. What I like is OKC, offensive efficiency, 29th in the NBA. So they are not scoring. They're not scoring a lot at all. And I think with the other thing, correlative betting, we talk about this. I always go back to like Gonzaga in college basketball. When you're a big favorite with a high total, take the under. Hopefully Warriors get up big and take their foot off the gas and don't really try that hard in the fourth quarter when you're up 20 here. So I am going under Golden State, under 223.5. Maybe you can find the 224 there. Houston-Dallas, I'm going to go over in the Houston Rockets-Dallas Mavs game. I'll tell you why. Number one, open 220.5. It's been bet up to 221.5. So a little bit of money coming in there on the over. We do have a great over ref, Sean Wright. He's about 56%. To the over, Justin Van Doyen. I don't know this guy, but he's a little bit to the over as well. And a new ref, John Conley. I don't know who that is. Must be a new ref. But what I like about this over, guys, is the public's actually on the under, and it almost screams under because both of these teams are Houston 3-0 to the under and Dallas 2-0 to the under. So if everyone's betting the under and these teams have gone under, then why did this line go up a point? That looks fishy to me. Anytime, like, it's always fishy to me, like, when both teams are, like, 5-0, 4-1 to the over, and then the line falls. It's also equally fishy when two teams are really good to the under, yet the total rises. So I'm going to take a shot here on the over. Again, why did it go up a point, 220.5 to 221.5, if both these teams have trended very well to the under? It's almost like a contrarian over or a buy low over on teams that have gone under. It looks fishy to me. I'm going to go over in this one. I like that these teams have gone under, yet some respective money is going over, even though the public is on the under. Next one up, Operation, bet against the Lakers, and LeBron might be out tonight. I'm going to take San Antonio Spurs getting the points here tonight, guys. This open on the road, Lakers -4.5. Lakers are now down to -2.5. You could consider waiting this thing out a little bit. LeBron is questionable. If he's out, though, this is probably going to get down to 1 or maybe a pick'em or, you know, some lower number. If he's in, though, this thing probably shoots up to 4.5. So you could kind of just split the difference and take the 2.5 right now. But everyone's still betting the Lakers. It's unbelievable. Lakers are kind of like the Chiefs. Just the name of the team, the public can't lay off just because they are the Lakers and they're LeBron. But they're 1-2 straight up, 0-3 ATS. You also have a one-day rest advantage for the Spurs. Last played the 23rd on Saturday, whereas the Lakers played on the 24th. So line going to Spurs. They're really contrarian. LeBron might be out. And system match wise, I got a lot of matches here. So if you look at, super contrarian, home dogs with a severe line move in their favor, 1.5 points or more, 55% ATS the last decade. These are all matches with the Spurs. So I'm going to take the 2.5, rest advantage, maybe no LeBron, and a pretty sharp move here. Give me the 2.5. And again, it might go up, might go down depending on confirmation on LeBron, but I'm grabbing the points there with the Spurs and I'm happy to bet against the Lakers as they continue to be super popular, but I think overvalued. And then last one of the night, I'm going under in the Nuggets Jazz game. This total opened 219.5. It's down to 218.5. Got some system matches here. Two good teams, but the over-under stays the same or falls. This has been a kind of a grinder spot for me, but when you're an elite team, your win percentage is 65% or more. And we do have these teams. What are their records so far? We got 2-1 Denver, 2-0 Utah. So again, you know, small sample here, but historically you get these two elite teams, the total stays the same or falls. It's almost like a contrarian under for winning teams to sort of system, but it's 56% to the under the last decade. Then you also look at kind of the way this thing is trended in terms of efficiency. Denver's 25th in offensive efficiency. They cannot get it going. It's Jokic and really his supplementary players, his teammates haven't helped him at all. They're 25th offensively. Utah is number 2 defensively. So I think that's kind of going to be tough here for the Nuggets to score, and maybe Jazz, you know, hopefully get a lower scoring game. But you do have a couple under Fs. Brandon Adar, David Guthrie, Derek Collins, they're all between 51 and 54% to the under. So I'll be on that Nuggets under. I got under 219. I think you're now under 218 and a half at this point. But there you have it, guys. We just ran the board, but now we ain't done yet. I just wanted to hit on a couple games going into this weekend just to keep an eye on. And number one, I got to talk about this crazy, crazy line move with the Cardinals game and the Packers game Thursday night. So I was locked and loaded and ready to take Green Bay plus 3.5. I'm glad I didn't. We were doing the show Betting Across America yesterday, me and Pritch, which, by the way, 3 to 4 p.m. is the best hour when all the news breaks. But I quickly, and my one concern was, am I going to be on a trendy dog with Green Bay plus 3.5? I have all these systems, you know, primetime dogs, another cover yesterday. They're now 14-7 ATS on the year. Short road dogs plus 6 or less, 26-11 ATS this year, 70%. Conference dogs, 59% ATS. Conference dogs, 7 or less, 64% ATS. Aaron Rodgers, 59% ATS in his career. All these things are on Green Bay. And I'm like, do I grab the 3.5 now? Because it may fall. I didn't hit it because I was a little concerned, will everyone load up on Green Bay plus the points? Then the decision was kind of made for me. It broke. Obviously, if you haven't heard it yet, Green Bay's got COVID issues. One of their head coaches, or one of their, I think their D coordinator, tested positive. And the big one here is obviously the big wide receiver, Devontae Adams. He's now in the COVID protocol. So I saw this thing creep up. I saw the minus 3.5 juiced up. Like, it's going to 4. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm on a trendy dog here. Then it gets to, you know, 4.5, 5, 5.5, 6. It's because of COVID. It's because all these, or we may have a couple injuries or COVID guys being out due to protocol with Green Bay. That's the reason why that line jumped up. So here's the thing. If you're laying Arizona minus 6 right now, you missed the boat. If you got them anything earlier, if you got them 3.5, 4.5, you're going to beat this closing line. You probably ride it out. But guys, I'm going to buy low on Green Bay. I want to monitor the juice. Can we find a 6.5? I need clarification on the COVID. Someone told me a long time ago, you buy on bad news, sell on good news. The bad news is Green Bay. I want to buy on the bad news. I'm looking at Green Bay still plus the 6, but I'm going to wait it out because I need COVID clarification. Can we get a 6.5? If you start to see this thing creep juice-wise, though, plus 6, minus 115, like it's going to fall to 5.5, then that's going to be jumping on Green Bay time, basically, for me. So I think the value is now this bad news of COVID, you're going to get a ton of flood of money on Arizona. So maybe we get a better number, maybe we don't, but that's, I'm still going to be Green Bay at this buy on bad news situation here. But again, want this clarification on the juice movement and COVID. A couple games that just to keep an eye out for. Detroit Lions at home. They're plus 3.5 right now against Philly. Everyone's on Philly. Philly open minus 3.5. They got down to 3 at one point. They're back to 3.5, but I think they're going to get back down to 3. Things ping ponging back and forth, 3.5, 3, 3.5, 3. Tells me Detroit plus 3.5 has some value here, guys. I know they're terrible. But they're doing a great job because they're 0-7, and I got the under 4.5 win total, but they're 4-3 ATS. You can't knock them. They do play hard. And Philly is a team that I bet on. They, you know, Sirianni did go for 2 and cover that number for me one game, but they've been a tough team to sweat here. I like this spot with Detroit getting plus 3.5. System matches there would be conference dog 7 or less, 64% ATS. And a kind of a short dog number with liability in their favor. So I'm looking at the 3.5 with Detroit, thinking this thing probably gets down to 3. Chicago was another one. Looking at Chicago getting plus 3.5. Everyone's still betting San Fran, even though they lost 4 straight. And I don't get why Shanahan is considered this guru. There's no ruin the goo, as Michael Lombardi likes to say, but they've lost 4 straight. Bears have struggled too. They just got blown out by 35. If you laid the points there, easy win on a deflated double digit line there with the Bucks. But this is kind of a public San Fran, lesser of two evils, but it opens San Fran minus 3.5. It's really juiced up plus 3.5, minus 115. Like, it's going to fall to 3. And I do see a couple books that have fallen to 3. So if you still find a Chicago with the hook 3.5, that's another intriguing play for me. That's also West Coast team going east for a 1 o'clock game. I like to fade those West Coast teams going east, and also favorites, dogs off a blowout loss of 20 points or more. You lose by 20 or more, public thinks you stink, wants nothing to do with you. You can sometimes buy low and get inflated numbers there, shaded numbers. 7-4 ATS, 56% ATS the last decade on dogs off a blowout loss of 20 or more. So keep an eye on Chicago. And the whole point with Chicago and Detroit is getting the hook now before it falls to 3. New England and the Chargers, public all over Chargers, but my Patriots, they fell from plus 6 down to plus 5.5. Looks like some Patriots money here. I'm going to wait this thing out, see if we can come back and get the key number of 6. Well, this would be short road dog 6 or less. Let's see. Those are, where's my short road dog six or last? 26 and 11, 70% ATS. Buying low on road dogs, 58% ATS this year. Conference dogs, 7 or less, 64%. All these matches would be with my New England Patriots. So with public loading up on Chargers, and again, they are coming off a bye. Always got to be wary of that. I don't like betting on teams off a bye. But Ron Torbert, pretty good road ref. He's almost 58% ATS to road teams. Looking at the Patriots, I'm going to wait. Can I get that six again? We shall see. And then another one that caught my eye, Washington. The Washington football team on the road against Denver. This opened minus 3.5 Denver. Some books even open like 4. It's down to 3. And it looks juiced up like it may go to 2.5. So you really wanted to jump on Washington, anything the hook or better. But it's notable to me you're getting some Washington money showing up there. And then I had to mention, too, Dallas and Minnesota. Early money to Dallas. They opened minus 1. They're all the way up to minus 2.5. Looks like they may go to 3. You could money line Dallas. They do match a favorite off a bye and a road favorite off a bye. But they're getting like 90% of bets. I'm wondering if Minnesota gets to plus 3. And you can buy low on Minnesota plus 3 at home. I kind of lean that way. But if you like Dallas, you might want that money line before it gets to 3. Something to keep an eye out for. And then Monday Night Football, keep an eye on the Giants. Everyone is on Kansas City. Kansas City is struggling. But the public ain't abandoning them. They're still getting 3 out of 4 bets. They open minus 10 at home. I think the look ahead, or at one point, I saw like a minus 13 at some point. Maybe that was the look ahead number. But it's 10. Everyone's on KC, and yet the plus 10 is being juiced up minus 115 toward the G-men. So the G-men as a double-digit Monday Night Football dog, very rare situation here, but 70% ATS the last decade. Lions stays the same, moves in favor of the road team, 56% ATS this year. And then also primetime dogs, 14-7 ATS, 67%. That also match on Minnesota. So keep an eye on the G-men. If you like the 10, you may want to get it sooner rather than later. That might get down to 9.5. And I also wanted to, I should have mentioned this earlier. I mentioned I'm betting across America, but betting against the Jets, the Bengals, they open 8.5. They're up to 10. I really should have jumped on that minus 9.5 or better. But that is definitely notable. And again, that would be kind of a Bengals team that is playing well versus a Jets team that I've seen that is god awful here. And we know double digit favorites are 8-3 ATS this year. And again, can we get a 6.5 on Green Bay? That's what I'm kind of holding out for. And then college football guys, just wanted to mention a couple games to end the pod with. I told you that I had a gross, disgusting play that is going to make you throw up in your mouth, but it's going to be so sharp that you might cut your finger on your keyboard here. I'm looking at the Wisconsin Badgers, baby. I don't know what it is about Wisconsin this year. They've had some good wins. They won the Fade the Trendy dog against Purdue last week, laying the points. But the Iowa Hawkeyes are ranked 9th in the country. Wisconsin is unranked. But guess what? Wisconsin opened minus 3 at home against Iowa. And a lot of this juice is trending toward minus 3.5. This is a sneaky. If you can find a minus 3, Wisconsin all day, unranked versus ranked. I am laying the 3 at home. And this is one that really jumps out to me where I'm looking at Wisconsin getting like 15% of bets. Nobody's on Wisconsin. Everybody's on Iowa. How do you not get points with a team that's ranked 9th versus a team that's unranked? But give me Wisconsin there. That really jumps out as what I think is going to be your top unranked first ranked play of the week. Another one that caught my eye, Auburn Tigers. I'm looking at Auburn in this spot, guys. They're ranked 18th. Ole Miss is 10th. Ole Miss is a higher ranking, yet why is Auburn opening as a 1-point favorite and now they're up to minus 2.5? I see some sharp action on Auburn, even though everyone's on Ole Miss. I'd be looking at maybe a money line play. If you're still on a minus 2.5, I'm looking at money lines around minus 130, minus 140. That looks like a fade the trendy dog play on Auburn, and two ranked teams take the favorite. It's been a staple system for me quite a while here. Two ranked teams take the favorite, 55% ATS the last decade. Another one that caught my eye was Mississippi State. Everybody's on Kentucky. This is really, really, really lopsided. Kentucky is, let me give you their numbers here. They just lose to Georgia 30-17, but they actually cover that number. But they're 12th in the country. Mississippi State is 4-2. Yet, this looks fishy because Kentucky opened minus 1. They've gotten a 1.5, but a lot of these 1.5s are back down to 1. If you can find a plus 1.5, this thing just, anytime you see a ranked team versus an unranked team where everybody's on that ranked team, and yet it's only a 1-point opener, 1.5 points. It looks way too good to be true. Looks fishy to me. I'm on the Mike Leach train, which, by the way, if you haven't, on Twitter or Googled this, Google Mike Leach press conference. He talked about his favorite Halloween candies, candy corn. It was hilarious. This guy is he's a weirdo, but he's kind of funny. But I'm on Mississippi State there. I like that plus 1.5. That just looks really, really fishy. Keep on cruising. Let's see what I had. What other ones did I jump out to me? Rutgers against Illinois. Rutgers is off a bye. Illinois has really struggled this year. If you look at the Illini, they are 3-5. I guess they're 4-3-1 ATS. They actually won two of their last three. Maybe I undersold them. Yeah, I'm forgetting that triple overtime win. What a crazy, crazy game against Penn State. But Rutgers has lost four straight, but yet this line's going to Rutgers. This opened at a pick'em or a -1 Illinois at home, and now it's flipped to Rutgers -1.5. So maybe a letdown spot after that crazy triple, or what was it, triple times triple, triple squared, 9 overtime game against Penn State. I'm looking at Rutgers on the money line. Dog to fave line move off a bye, and maybe a letdown spot after a crazy, crazy good win for that team. For Illinois, a couple more. Wyoming on the road at San Jose State. You may want to grab the +3 right now with Wyoming. It opened at -3 San Jose State at home, and everyone's on San Jose State. Yet this thing is falling to 2.5. All the juice looks like it's going to 2.5. This would match our short road dog system match, +4 or less, that 59% ATS this year. Also a dog with a low total of 41. Looking at Wyoming here, guys, getting the 3. I like that they're 1-5-1 ATS, even though they're 4-3. So they haven't covered, and they've lost three straight. But yet, you're seeing this juice movement in their favor. I look at Wyoming there. And then just a couple last plays, Utah. Everyone's betting UCLA, but Utah at home against UCLA went from -4.5 up to -6.5. Fade the trendy dog, reverse line move toward the Utes. I think the play here is the quarterback for UCLA, who's really good. What's his name? Dorian Thompson-Robinson is questionable. Based on this line movement, it looks like he might be out, and that's what really hurt us because their backup that went in and threw the pick against Oregon, I thought we were going to get that win last week. But I'm going to bet against that QB. And with this DTR, as they like to call him, maybe being out here, line movement toward Utah. But yet people still see UCLA. You know, they see the 5-3 record, Utah only 4-3. But we also have kind of this fade the trendy dog move toward Utah. So that's also, if you look at the rankings, are either of these teams ranked? I got to double check. They are both unranked. I thought maybe UCLA was at one point. But if you can get a -6.5 before it gets to 7, I'd lean Utah there. And then last one, Louisville. Louisville jumped out to me getting a +7 right now. They're on the road at NC State. They open +7. All these +7s are -115, -120, like they may fall to 6.5. So that matches a conference road dog off a win. Let me see. Let me get that Louisville one. Was it off a win or off a cover? Yeah, they beat BC. They rolled on them 28-14. But this is also kind of that classic conference road dog with a line move in their favor. And you look at offensively, Louisville averaging around 32 points a game. Same thing with NC State. But I think this is closer to a, you know, 6-point game, 3-point game. And even though everyone's betting NC State after some impressive wins here recently, this line is trending down 7 down to 6.5. So that's going to be a buy low spot for me on Louisville getting 7 points. So there you have it, guys. Another day, another dollar. After a good hockey night and a good stick with the one who brung you, NFL night with Seattle. Not a good NBA night, so hopefully you bounce back tonight. But reminder, if you enjoy the pod, if it's helped you cash a couple bets, if you've learned a few things and you see your bankroll, as Mike Pritch likes to say, going bottom left to top right, or maybe you started a flat bet, or you've adopted more of a contrarian mindset, or you've taken your bias out of it and just gone off of data and analytics, whatever it may be, if the pod has helped you in any way and you want to make my day and let me know you appreciate the hard work I put in every day, there's one thing I ask of you. Buy my book. My book is called The Everything Guide to Sports Betting, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's got everything I've learned in the industry, how lines are set, why they move. If you're a new bettor, you got to know this stuff, how to read line movement, how to go contrarian, how to identify sharp money. It's all included with a book, The Everything Guide to Sports Betting, my baby that I spent a full summer writing on the North Shore of Boston and in the great fisherman town of Gloucester. Also got chapters on all the major sports, how to place a bet in person or online, how to shop for the best number, bankroll management, all that stuff. So if you want to buy a copy or you already have, it would mean a lot to me. Thank you, thank you, and thank you again. So with that being said, whether I see you at the Borgata in Atlantic City, Twin River in Rhode Island, the Brook in New Hampshire, the beautiful stadium swim, sweating sharp contrarian plays with the crew, sipping pina coladas, or maybe I forgot to mention in Connecticut at Foxwoods or Mohegan Sun, or how about the good old South Point, where the true grinders get down, where Billy Walters sends his number runners, where the lowest juice possible is found, wherever it may be, you're going to walk up to me. Do not show me any NBA tickets. We're going to rip those things up and throw them in the trash. But how about you flash me a St. Louis Blues ticket? How about a Carolina Hurricanes ticket? How about a Florida Georgia puck line -1.5? How about a Seattle sticking with the one who took us to the dance? That's who we're dancing with. I know the line went away from us, but in these situations, guys, I stick with my original bet. If I lose, I got a bad number and maybe I deserved it, but with betting, anything can happen. I don't want to turn possibly one loss into two, and maybe that one loss isn't a loss. Maybe they cover. That's what happened last night with Seattle. So flash me a Seattle ticket, guys. First one's on me. Next one's on you. Reminder, hope you tune in to Betting Across America 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time today. Me and my guy Mike Pritch. And then right at 4, tune into the VSiN YouTube live stream. Me, Andy McNeil, Michael Clifford, talking NHL tonight. You puckheads, tune in. It's going to be a great time. But have a great day, guys. Good luck. And as always, my parting words, stay sharp, stay contrarian, bet against the public, place yourself on the side of the house, always be with the smart money, never against it. Will smart money win every time? Nope. No such thing as a lock or a guarantee. But if we can consistently find that sweet spot, games that fit our model, simultaneously against the public, with the house, with the pros, beat the closing line, flat bet, no parlays, that's how we're going to succeed long term, guys. So have an excellent Tuesday. Hope to see you on BAA and in the YouTube hockey live stream. Good luck. And remember, as always, tip your ticket writer. It's going to save you from a bad beat down the road, and it's a good thing to do. Have a great Tuesday, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow for a little hump day. I think Dickie V's ready for tomorrow, baby. Good luck, everyone. I'll see you at the window.